Now, I don't intend preaching long tonight, and if I'll make this guarantee to you, if I preach past 7 o'clock, Ron is going to give you $100. Patrick's ready. All right, just two verses that we want to look at tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 23, look at verse number 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Now let me pray. Father, I pray that you help me. I believe the message will just be short, but I pray that even in its brevity, dear God, that you'd help me to bring out truths from these verses that will help your people in regard to the spiritual conflict that we are involved in. Oh God, we live in a wicked day. And it seems, oh God, like wickedness and apostasy are being ramped up by the devil at an accelerated rate. And dear God, the only hope for this world are people like I'm addressing tonight, people who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, people who can be filled with the Spirit of God and go out and do the battle of the Lord for the glory of God. So help us tonight, dear God. Give us some spiritual grit. Give us some spiritual fortitude, and help us, Lord, even as the Apostle Paul wrote, to fight the good fight. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 23, beginning in verse number 8, going all the way down to the end of the chapter, verse number 39, we are given the role of David's mighty men. And what we have here is a list of the members, an elite list of members who made up David's army. And these men probably came to David when he was just a very young man, when he was fleeing from King Saul. And they had fought with David, and they had been faithful to David, and now they are being recognized for their heroism and their great exploits on the battlefield. In Hebrews chapter 11, you have, you know, God's Hall of Fame. And really right here you have, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, David's Hall of Fame. And there are 37 names here that make up this list of David's mighty men. You see that at the end, look at verse number 39. Notice it tells you right there, 37 in all. So there are 37 men who make up this list of mighty men. Tonight, I want us to look at this mighty man whose name is Shammah. And what we are told about him, from what we are told about him, we could call him this, the man who stood his ground. The man who stood his ground. So let's notice some things about him tonight very quickly. Number one, here's what I want you to realize. He fought the enemy in what appeared to be an insignificant place. He fought the enemy in what appeared to be an insignificant place. Look at verse number 11 again. It says, after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And you know what lentils are. They're simply beans. All right. And so here's what you need to realize and here what you need to see. This man fought a great battle. Where did he fight it? In a bean field. In a bean field. A bean field is not a place where you would think a very significant battle would be fought and where a very great victory would be won. But that's where Shammah did his battle, and this is why he's receiving honorable mention in the list of David's mighty men for his exploits, all right, in this insignificant place. And here's what I'm wanting you to realize tonight. You know, a lot of times, here's what you and I think, and the devil would get you to even get discouraged about it. I'm nothing. My life doesn't mean anything. I'm insignificant. But what I'm wanting you to realize is this. Many spiritual battles are fought and won in insignificant places. Yeah. Here's an insignificant place where great victory could be won: in a living room, in a street, on a street corner. All right, when you go and you make a visit on someone and they invite you into their house and they give you the opportunity to sit down and open up your New Testament and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the in the course of you opening up your Bible and winning them to Christ, or them accepting Christ as their Savior, a great victory is won. Someone is taken, right, from who was on their way to an eternal hell, and now they're on their way to heaven. The world is not going to know about it, but God sees it. You know, a lot of times we get so caught up, we get the mindset of the world. You know, oh, Trump's going to meet with the, you know, Prime Minister of China, or the President of China, whoever he is, and, you know, what's going on in, over there in North Korea and all this stuff that's going on around in the world. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be aware of that kind of stuff, but in regard to God taking note, I'm telling you, God and heaven does not take note of that. But just like today when we were up in the office, all right, and my wife was witnessing to little Rosie Sotomayor, when she got done and that little girl prayed and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior, I got news for you. There was joy in heaven in the presence of the angels.
Hallelujah.
Because a little girl came to know Jesus Christ as her Savior. An insignificant place. A living room is an insignificant place, but great battles could be won there. A street corner is an insignificant place, but you can do great exploits for the Lord. This past week, I was in downtown Stamford and had a little time to wait to do something, and so I got some gospel tracts in my pocket, and I just went on the street corner. There's a guy standing there, so I approached him, gave him a tract, began to talk to him about the Lord, and I told him how to get saved, and I asked him if he died today, would he go to heaven? He said, no, he'd go to hell. So I said, you want to accept Jesus Christ into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior? He said, yes. I said, let's just step around the corner of this building right here, give us a little more privacy. And he prayed, and he asked the Lord to save him.
Amen.
Heaven wasn't concerned about what was going on in the White House.
Amen.
Okay, but I'll tell you this, heaven was concerned about what was going on in that man's heart there on that street corner, and if he was sincere and he really meant what he prayed, then there was rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner right there who repented. You see, battles, you can win battles in insignificant places. All right, a living room, a street corner. Hey, I'll give you an insignificant place where great battles could be won. Your bedroom. When I say your bedroom, I'm talking of this. All right, when you get on your knees by your bed and you pray down the blessings of the Lord. Oh, the world's not going to see it. No one's going to write about it in any newspaper. It's not going to make the television or the radio, but heaven hears. And only God knows. As we were just talking about, how many souls who are trapped in the darkness of sin, all right, who are on their way to an eternal hell because a mother or a daddy or a wife or a husband prayed to God and shed some tears by a bedside, some son or daughter, some husband, some wife, some loved one, ultimately their life was turned around. They got saved or they got right with God. See? Talking about a hero here. We're talking about David's Hall of Fame. We're talking about David's list of mighty men. We're talking about a man who stood his ground. We're talking about a man who won a great victory. But he did it in an insignificant place. You can. Hey, listen, when you witness to someone at work, when God gives you that opportunity, you can do something great in an insignificant place. You understand?
Amen.
All right. Number two, here's the second thing about Shammah. He fought when others fled. He fought when others fled. Are you there in 2 Samuel chapter 23? And look at the end of verse number 11. See, he's fighting in this ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. The people fled from the Philistines. He fought when others fled. And you know what? Shammah was like his commander, his general, his king, David. When you look at the life of David, you know that David wrought a great victory on the battlefield. It wasn't in an insignificant place. It was when the Philistines, like here, were fighting against the nation of Israel. But remember, they were both stationed on mountaintops, and there was a valley between them. And the hero of the Philistine army was that giant Goliath. And he'd come down into the valley, and he'd give his threats against Israel and against their God. And when he would make his appearance, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. See, same type of situation. The enemy came and everybody ran away except David. And then you recall that David goes out to battle that giant alone. The Bible says in verse number 40, and David took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You see, Shammah was like his commander, his king, his general, David. When others fled, he stood and fought a battle all by himself. You know what? You have a commander. The Lord Jesus Christ is called what? The captain of our salvation. And remember when Jesus walked amongst men? He was like David. David, in actuality, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ fought a battle in an insignificant place, in a garden, the night before he was crucified. And you know what happened in that garden when he fought that spiritual battle? What happened when Shammah was there? What did the others do? They fled. What happened there when David was fighting Goliath? What did the other men in the army do? They fled. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was crucified, what did his disciples do? They fled. They fled. Remember what the Bible says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verse number 56. The Bible says, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. You see the typology there? But here's what we know. When the others fled in that dark hour, Jesus stood alone. Remember, as he went into that Garden of Gethsemane, he took his disciples, and the Bible says he said to them, sit ye here while I go yonder and pray. And the Bible says in verse number 39, after he had prayed, after he told his disciples to watch and pray, verse number 39 of Matthew 26 says, and he went a little farther and fell down on his face and prayed, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. When the army of Israel fled, David didn't. When the disciples fled, Jesus didn't. When the others involved in David's conflict there that we're talking about, all right, when they fled from that field of lentils, Shammah didn't. All right, and then there's another one. Like Shammah, like David, like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Apostle Paul. It's the Apostle Paul. Remember now, when you go in your Bible to 2 Timothy, chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is coming down to the end of his life. He's standing before Nero, the emperor of Rome, who's going to give him question about who Jesus Christ is. And naturally, when he is asked who the Lord Jesus Christ is, he's going to answer He is God. He is the Lord. And in all likelihood, it will cost him his life. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. You see, when Paul had to give an answer, hey, I know he was surrounded by some good men, but you know what? They all fled. He even said, I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. See, that's a Christian. I'm talking about, that's, you see how when you really are a spirit-filled individual, then you start doing things that other people don't naturally do. You know what most people naturally do when you get in a situation like that? We complain about those who forsook us, those who we helped who didn't stand beside us. They all left Paul, his closest companions. And you know what he said? Lord, please don't lay it to their charge. He understood their weakness at that moment. Verse number 17 says, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And so when you look at Shammah, this mighty man, all right, who was in David's elite fighting force, he fought a battle in an insignificant place, all right, number one, and was victorious there, and he fought when others fled. Here's the third thing I'd have you to see about him. All right, he stood his ground and did not retreat. He stood his ground and did not retreat. Back in 2 Samuel chapter 23, in verse number 12, the Bible says, in the first part of the verse, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. A key, now this was a physical conflict that he was involved in, but you see, he planted himself, he stood his ground, he didn't go backward. And what is true in regard to that physical conflict that he was involved in is true in the spiritual battle, all right, that you and I are to be involved in. You're going to get involved in a conflict, all right, and your enemies are going to be principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And we've been talking about it now for several weeks on Wednesday night. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, all right, in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then in verse number 13 and 14, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And so you know what you're going to have to do if you want to have the victory? You're going to have to stand. But like we've already seen in regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, in regard to David, in regard to the Apostle Paul, in regard to Shammah, stand, not move back, and be able to stand alone. Now, it's wonderful sometimes to have support. I understand that. It is. To have people beside you, to encourage you, to battle with you. And sometimes the Lord will allow you to have that. But you know what? Sometimes it's going to be just you and Jesus. Like Paul said, notwithstanding, when everybody else took off, Paul said, notwithstanding what? The Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me. And so in regard to this spiritual conflict that you and I are to be involved in, you need to plant your feet, as we've said, and you need to just stand your ground. Don't go backwards. Don't take a step back. You take one step, you'll take two. You take two steps, you'll take three. And that's what happens to people. A lot of times when people get away from God, it's just one little old step at a time. And then all of a sudden, they look where they're at and they wonder, how did I get so far from God? They didn't flee away. I know some flee away, but some just, it's over a protracted period of time. It's one step at a time. When the prodigal went into the far country, he didn't take a bus. Didn't take a cab. Didn't call Uber. Okay. Didn't fly. He went into that far country. One step at a time. And he wasted his substance with riotous living. He lost it all, but he didn't lose it in one day. And I guarantee you, he didn't lose it in one week. I don't know how long it was. The Bible doesn't tell us. It was over a protracted period of time. And then he ended up doing something that he thought that he would never do. He joined himself to a citizen of that country. Now, you're familiar with the story of the prodigal son. And you understand that the father in the story is a picture of God the Father. And the son is a picture of, you could be a picture of a lost sinner. We could also be a picture of a backslidden saint. You understand that. All right, and then you've got the elder brother, who's a picture of the religious hypocrite. But you know what? You never hear too much about the citizen. You know who the citizen is? It's the devil. The citizen pictures the devil. And that son who departed from home, listen, joined himself willfully to that citizen. No one put a gun to his back and said, you know what? Now you're going to go and join yourself to this man. He willfully joined himself to that citizen. And here's another thing. When he decided that he wanted to go home, and he got up out of the hog pen, and he took a step, you know what the citizen or the devil didn't do? You're not going over my dead body, you're going to leave here. He willfully went into the hog pen, and when he wanted to get out, he willfully got out of the hog pen. There's a lesson there. You see, you get in on your own, and you'll get out on your own. There might be some deception in leading you there. There was deception to lead the prodigal there. But when you want to get out, ain't nobody can stop you. The devil can't even stop you. But you gotta learn to stand, get planted. You know, there's that song. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. There's a lesson there, you see. Blessed is the man, right? Psalm 1. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. All right, one more thing about Shammah. Last thing, I'm pretty good now tonight. All right, look at number 4 in regard to what we're talking about. The 4th thing that I would have you to see is this: the Lord gave Israel a great victory through the exploits of Shammah. The Lord gave to Israel a great victory through the exploits of Shammah. You there? 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 12, last phrase in the verse. Notice what it says: and the Lord wrought a great victory. Amen. Okay, it wasn't "and Shammah wrought a great victory." It was "and the Lord wrought a great victory." Let me give you two places in Scripture and I will be done. The first place I draw your attention to is in the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm number 44. Psalm number 44. Verses 1 to 3. Psalm 44, verses 1 to 3. The Bible says here, "We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old." He said, hey, you know what? We've been told, we've learned the work that God, you did. You see, Shammah was the individual in the field with the weapon, doing the battle. But it was God that gave the victory. Amen. And here Israel's talking about, they said, you know what? We've been instructed in regarding the victories that you gave. That's why you got to know your Bible, so you're familiar with the victories that God gave. That's why you need to know about church history and need to know about some of these men whose names, whose pictures are up on the wall. All right, so you can know about the victories that God gave. All right, verse number 2 in Psalm 44, it says, "How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out." That specifically is talking about the battles that Israel fought under the leadership of Joshua when they took possession of the land of Canaan. But you'll notice it's God that drove out the heathen. Yeah, it was Joshua. It was Joshua and his army. It was the men of Israel with swords in their hands. But it was God. Amen. You see, verse number 3, he says, "For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them." What got them the victory? Thy right hand, thy arm. When you read the book of Psalms, you're going to read God's right arm, God's right hand on more than one occasion. When you're reading about God's right hand and God's right arm, you know who you're talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, where did he sit down? At God's right hand. That's why when the world talks about, you know, they use phraseology in the Bible, they don't even know what they're saying, not realizing that what they are saying came right out of the Scripture. Oh, they'll say, you know what? He, talking about an individual, is his right-hand man. Right. Where'd you get that? Came right out of the Bible. Jesus Christ is the Father's right-hand man. God gave Israel the victory. It wasn't their sword, although they used it. It was thy right hand. You know what I got right here? A sword. A sword. When I won that guy to Christ on that street corner, you know what I did? I grabbed my New Testament that I keep in my truck. I got some gospel tracts, and I began to talk to him, and I opened up my New Testament, and I began to show him verses out of my sword. I used the sword. Amen. Jesus saved his soul. Same thing. I didn't do it. I was just a soldier. I was just in the Lord's army. doing the Lord's work, fighting the Lord's fight.
Hallelujah.
And God
Hallelujah.
Saved him.
Thank you,
see, it wasn't me. The Lord did it.
Amen.
The Lord did it. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. What? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. God gives us the victory through his right hand, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, and so we see this great soldier. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. But you know what? We're going to have all eternity. You know who we'll meet up there? Shammah. All the saints. All these individuals who did great exploits for God. All these 37 men in David's Hall of Fame. In David's list of mighty men. You'll meet them all. We'll meet the man who stood his ground and wrought a great victory for the Lord. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father,